Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son that we might know you to worship you. Let us see him in the beauty of the cross. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. This is, as the baby said, Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. And we typically take it as a joyous occasion. It has been described as Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 50, I'm going to read the whole chapter. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there no answer? Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. The triumphal entry of Jesus to Jerusalem. I went to church this morning, and they handed out palms. It was a celebratory atmosphere. It was happy. But today I want to show you the triumphal entry from a different perspective. From the perspective of Jesus. Throughout the scripture, Old and New Testament, there is death. Death, death, death. That's a promise of God. You know that? You know how we say we like the promises of God? Like that one? He keeps it. He keeps his promise. You sin, you die. So I want to look through the Gospels and look at how Jesus perceived his coming to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. So we're going to run through the Gospels and try to get a picture, a perception, a concept of what Jesus thought about when he was going to Jerusalem to be hailed king. Because, you know, normally when kings are hailed, there's pomp and ceremony. There's celebration. But the name Christ, in and of itself, means, yes, anointed one, but the smeared one. So his name indicates something about him. The smeared one. You ever been smeared? Celebratory? In Matthew, Jesus goes to Peter's house and he heals Peter's mother. And Matthew says he did this to fulfill the scriptures that says he himself took our infirmities. Oh, I'm glad. But when you read the context of he takes our infirmity, this is what it says. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was afflicted. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. You think he's celebrating? He was cut off out of the land of the living. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, because he poured out his soul unto death. Jesus had this in mind. I'm going to Jerusalem. I must carry and take their iniquities. He's 12 years old. You know the story. He goes to Jerusalem. Why is he in Jerusalem? The Passover, death, redemption. Someone has to die. Someone has to die at 12 years old. And guess what? He didn't leave Jerusalem. He stayed there. And his parents had to come back and find him. Where are you doing? He's in there considering the Passover, death. And he says, I have to be about my father's business, the Passover. Great multitudes were following him. And he turned around and said to them, unless you are willing to take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Celebratory? You think they were like, yes, yes, yes. No, they said, we don't want to follow him. Death, death, death. He told the story about Lazarus and the rich man. You remember the story? And he ends it about death. And he says, in this story, the rich man says, I have five brothers. Let me go and tell them about this place. And Jesus says, they won't believe. And he says, well, wonder just if someone rises from the dead, they'll believe. And he says, though one rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe. So the story of Lazarus and the rich man ends with the ideal of someone who has died and risen from the dead. He speaks of Moses, and he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever sees him will have life. And as you begin to read the New Testament, you begin to see Jesus, and he's got one thing in mind. I'm going to Jerusalem, not for a celebration. Jonas is a sign of death. Show us, where do you get your authority, Jesus? Look at Jonas. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You remember when Peter confessed who Christ was. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, yes, you're right. And immediately he says, and the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected and killed. He immediately links the identity of himself with death. And it says he spake openly to his disciples from that time forward. When Peter made the declaration of who he was, the scripture says he began to say plainly to them, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed. Exciting? Exciting sermon. You've been hyped. You've been given sugar instead of vegetables. You've been given something that gets you excited and don't last. And you need the meat of the word, the sincere milk of the word. Because if you don't know Christ the way he describes himself, then you don't know him. And if you know him and you see how he explains himself to us, you need to worship him. This is where the exciting stuff is. His death. His death for you, because see, you deserved it. You should be dying, because God promised you. You sin, you die. He's an equal opportunity payer. Remember when Christ called Peter Satan? Get thee behind me, Satan. Remember that? Guess what it was in reference to? You can't go there and die. I'll die for you. And Jesus says, what? Get thee behind me, Satan. He calls Peter Satan in reference to his death. It is because he was saying, you don't need to die. I'll die for you, Christ. I'll fight him back. And Christ says, Satan? You think his death is a serious issue with him? Whosoever will come after me, take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. He says, you know where the scripture says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you? Guess what it's a reference to? His death. If you are ashamed to tell people that I've died for them, I'll be ashamed of you. And we in the church, we have programs after programs. We got more programs. We got more programs for kids and people and kids and people. And never is the death of Christ put in the forefront. Shame. It is his death that'll change a person's life. It is his death that'll change the streets. It is his death for your wickedness, because you are wicked. You and me. And we deserve the promise that he promised us. Death. The transfiguration. You know the story. Christ takes Peter, James, and John. He says, come on up, guys. Come on up here with me. And he's transfigured in front of them. The scripture says the brightness of his person just outshone the sun. He was brighter than the sun. And the disciples, first of all, they fall asleep. And when they finally wake and they see him in his glory, and he's talking to two people. Moses. Elijah. Moses and Elijah. And guess what they're talking about? Man, it's sure good to be up here on this mountain in the sun. Man, everything is good. Luke says it this way. They spoke of his exodus. They spoke of his exodus. They spoke of his exodus. If you don't know what the exodus is about, read Exodus. It is the quintessential picture of redemption. It is what they celebrate. There was a death for release from slavery. You're enslaved to your sin. 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 And if you sin, you die. You're in bondage. And here's the conversation in all of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he's talking about his death. And I went to church this morning, and I don't think I heard about his death this morning. I heard songs of worship. How can you worship Jesus and not talk about his death? Because that's all he seems to be talking about. And he set his face to go to Jerusalem. I don't care what's going on in my life. I got to go. I have to go. I have to go to Jerusalem. Because I have to die for you. I can't be dissuaded. I can't be taken off course. I have to do one thing and one thing only. I have to go to Jerusalem to die. I have to go to Jerusalem to die. Not for you to dance. I'm going to Jerusalem for to die. And we come in here like it's no big deal. How dare we? It's a shame that you can go to church after church. They say the biggest church is in Houston.
The man just wrote a book, Your Best Life Ever, and he never mentioned Jesus, and he's supposed to be a preacher. And he's a best-selling 30,000-member church preacher, and he just wrote a best-selling book, and he never mentioned his name once. Best life ever? Best life now? You need to be inviting people here. Not for the music, not for the building, because Christ has died for them. And they need his death, or else they'll die. Do you love your friends? Do you love your neighbor? This is serious business. This is serious. Do you love your children? Do you tell them about the death of Christ for their sin? Or do you just bring them to church and say, oh, you know, no big deal. Go get entertained. Go play basketball. Go downstairs and have something. Do we bring them for entertainment? I grew up in a house that my father preached the gospel. I never heard it. He told me about Christ. He told me of his death. I don't remember a single word he ever said to me about Jesus. My ears were plugged. You have to be where the gospel is preached day after day after day after day. The death of Christ, the death of Christ. This isn't exciting. This is real. It's not ceremonial. You're sinful. And you need a savior. I need a savior like this one who is determined to save me. Jesus, the Samaritans, they got upset with Jesus when he came into Samaria. Guess why? Because his face, I got to go to Jerusalem, so I love you, but I got to go. The Samaritans got upset with him because his face, the scripture says in Luke, was as if he had to go to Jerusalem. Everything is secondary to him. Is his death secondary to you or is it primary? His death was primary to him. All things written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man, this is Luke 18, shall be accomplished. I'm going to do it. And he tells his disciples, the Son of Man shall be delivered, and they shall condemn him to death. Now, this is him talking about his own self. This is where I'm going. They're going to condemn him to death. They're going to deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him and scourge him and spit upon him and shall kill him. This is what he's teaching his disciples. This is his main objective. Did you hear what the prophet said in Isaiah? Let me just recap it. I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. I gotta go. I gotta go. This is the Father's will. I'm not gonna be rebellious like all of everybody else. I've gotta go. I gave my back. This is Isaiah. This is 700 years before it happened. I gave my back to the smiters. And my cheeks to them that pluck off the beard. He's reading this about himself, knowing what's going to happen. He goes, I gotta go. I gotta go. This must happen to me. That the scriptures of the prophets would be fulfilled. His miracles, they go, prove that this is right. He goes, kill me. Kill me. That'll prove who I am. That'll prove the veracity of my miracles. Kill me, and in 3 days, I'll raise myself while dead from the grave. Now we go, man, I've heard this all before. I go to church every single day. I've heard it. Let me tell you something. I was a Muslim. I tell you all the time. I was a Muslim. And I had the same question. Muhammad, why should I follow you? Prove who you say you are. And he goes, read my book. Read my Quran. And when the Lord started pursuing me, drawing me with cords of love, he said, now take Muhammad and compare him to me. He wants you to read his book to prove who he is. I want you to kill me to prove who I am. He wants you to read some book to prove who he is. I want you to take my life from me to prove who I am. Do you have a message for a Muslim? Oh, yeah. Yes. What a weight. What a weight of proof. What a weight of proof. Kill me, and in 3 days, you want to know who I am? You want to know if my miracles are true? You want to know if I'm God in the flesh? You want to know if I can actually pay for your sin? Kill me. Kill me. Kill me. Have you watched the movie, The Passion? Parts of it, I go, oh my goodness, it's too graphic. It's too graphic. And they're beating him with the cat and nine tails, and they're beating him, and his flesh is being ripped, and they're beating him, and they're joking about it. Man, whoop him. Let me see what you can do. Get him. Yo, Thor, hit him up. Beat him. Beat him. Beat him some more. Get him again, man. We got time. Get him. He was mad today when you came to work. Take it out on him. The Son of Man shall be delivered, and they shall condemn him to death. Deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him and scourge him, and they shall spit on him. I got to go there for you. I got to go. Your relationship with one another is based on his death. Did you know that? The Gentiles rule over one another. It shall not be like that amongst you. For the Son of Man came not to rule, but to serve. Then he puts this on here. And to give his life a ransom. So your relationship to one another is based on not just love one another. It's based on his death. Why are you to treat each other the way Christ has told you? Because he's died for you. Everything that Christ is showing us is based on, I'm going to Jerusalem. And he gets outside of Jerusalem, and guess what? He's riding the donkey, and the people are celebrating. They're celebrating. They're celebrating. Guess what he does? Does anyone know? He begins to cry. He weeps over Jerusalem. If you had only known, if you had only known what time it was. They're celebrating. Hosanna, Hosanna, the king. We're going to be free. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No one's watching him. He's crying. Read the Gospels. We're here. The
celebration that I talked about with the kids and the music and the tambourine and all of that is useless, good for nothing, and strictly entertainment for people and their children, unless it's worship of the crucified one. Unless it's worship of the crucified one. The scripture says he set his face as a flint. That's what Isaiah 50. He set his face as a flint. I will not be discouraged. I will not be moved. I will not be dissuaded. I will not do anything other than die for my people. We should be worshiping because my sin has been washed away. This is a one of three parts. Next Friday, Good Friday, we're going to have service. Good Friday service, 7:30. We're here not to see anything other than the crucified one. We're here strictly for one thing. He's died for me. He's died for me. He's died for me. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's at the beginning of his ministry. That's the first thing someone said about him. You're going to die. Oh, yippee. What? That's John the Baptist at the very beginning of his ministry. Behold the Lamb of God. From beginning of his ministry, actually from his birth, I didn't even deal with it. From the beginning of his ministry to his triumph, to his riding in on a donkey. And when you read the prophecy of the donkey riding, it has to do with his death. So unless you understand Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, in reference to his death, you've missed the boat. He's not a good guy. He's not a good teacher. He's not a good prophet. He's not anything other than what he says he is. And he's going to do what he said he would do, die. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we celebrate your coming in to Jerusalem. We celebrate you coming on a donkey, and we give out palms to one another on Sunday, Palm Sunday, and celebrate. But you came into Jerusalem as the Lamb of God to be killed. And if we don't cry out and worship, you said these pews will do it. And we sit in these pews and we don't worship you the way you ought to be worshiped. You ought to worship God. It is due him out of his love for you, out of his faithfulness to you, to die for you and I. We who were in bondage, he spoke of it, our exodus. So Lord, I ask that you would save. Hosanna. Save now, Lord God. Save now. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna. Yes. Hosanna. Hosanna, save now. Amen. If you've never known Christ in his death for you, he's died for you. Out of love for the Father, he came for you. He loves you, and he has died for you. So you who are a sinner need not face the wrath of God. He has taken your place if you'll trust him. Have you heard his voice today calling to you? I've died for you. I've died for you. I've died for you. If you have heard his voice calling to you, come, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart. Trust him. Trust him because he loves you. And he has died for you. If you want to ask Christ into your heart, if you want to ask him to forgive you of your sin, to be your Savior, just raise your hand where you are. You want Christ to save you from your sin, young, old. He loves you. He was determined to show his love for you by going to the cross. Father, we bless your name. We thank you, Lord, that you would love us to the point of sending your son to die for a wicked person like me. I know my sin. It is grievous to you. It is an offense to you. But you sent your son. Lord Jesus, we thank you that nothing would dissuade you from going to Jerusalem, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, knowing what would happen to you, the scourging, the beating, the pulling of the hair of the beard, the spitting on the face, the slapping of you, the beating of you, the crucifying of you, the death of you. Lord, we bless your holy name. We lift you up. We exalt you. You said, if I be lifted up, I would draw men unto myself. Lord, we show them the cross. We show them your beauty, blessing and honor, glory and power. Unto the Lamb, unto the Lamb, unto the Lamb, unto the Lamb who has shed his own blood for my sin. Amen. blue bags. Yesterday I was invited to go to the west side of Syracuse and give out food. We went door to door and gave food. And when we were done, I asked for a single bag because there was a gentleman that I had met right up the street whose wife had had a major operation, and I wanted to bring him food. And this is the one bag. Bag, one bag after another, one bag after another, one bag after another, one bag after another, one bag after another. And we have food to give to this neighborhood, to people in this neighborhood. So what I'd like to do is, after the service, those who would like to come with me as we go down Lafayette, down Midland Avenue, knock on doors, invite people to church, give them food. That's the purpose of the bags. This is a gift the Lord has just poured into our laps. Food. Look at all the food that he has given us to say, feed the hungry. Feed the hungry. So if you would like, I don't know if you're dressed for it, but I want to go after we're done here and get groups of people, and we'll go and feed people. Bless the Lord. I thank the Lord for these gifts. This is the Lord saying, you have plenty. 24 bags of food. And the candy for kids, this church simply dumped into our lap and said, here, go serve. Bless the Lord.